just open door. I'm going to be a servant of God, and I'm going to glorify Him in whatever I do. Amen? Think of the doors that Jesus has opened for so many of us, but we never, ever enter those doors.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Hello again. It's great to have you tuning in for Pastor Bill's study of the New Testament book of Revelation. On today's program, Pastor concludes the message, Philadelphia, the Faithful Church. Now, let's join the study.
It says, those who dwell on the earth, meaning earth dwellers, all right? We'll get into that when we study the rest of it out. Now, with all that being said, if you go and do a study, earth dwellers, those who dwell on the earth, they are defined as those whose names have not been written in the book of life, okay? And so if you study it out, you'll find that the word there, earth dwellers, or those who dwell on earth, used 10 times in the book of Revelation, meaning, and it's only meaning unbelievers, those that are not saved. Now, so the hour of trial, this testing that's going to come upon the whole earth, I believe the Bible's very clear. It's called the time of the 70th week of Daniel, amen. It's the time of Jacob's trouble, Jacob being Israel. It's a time that we call that seven-year period of time, can't even talk this morning, period of time called the Great Tribulation period, amen. Now, and that begins in chapter 6 of Revelation all the way through 19. Matter of fact, Jesus, when he spoke of the great tribulation that was coming, he used one verse to describe the most horrific time that planet Earth will ever, ever face. Let me read it to you. Matthew 24:21. Jesus said, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor shall ever be." And here's what I want you to see. This is an unbelievable, explicit promise from Jesus to the church, the last days church of Philadelphia, loved one. And this, out of all the seven churches, this is the only church that this promise is made to, that I will keep you from. And the word from is ek in the Greek, very, very important word. And it means this, it means out of, it means I'll keep you from it. Now, our post-trib brothers, okay? I love them. They say that verse 10, oh no, the church is going to go through the great tribulation period. And they look that word ek or from as being somehow God's going to make us immune from the great tribulation period. Or we're going to be somehow preserved during the great tribulation period. And I say, well, you know, I don't know about that. This promise doesn't cheer me up very much then. I mean, are people going to die in the great tribulation period? I mean, how about people are going to be saved. They're called tribulation saints, not the church, tribulation saints. They come after, okay? Now, are they going to be martyred? Yes. And so that the promise from Jesus, don't worry, I'm going to keep you from all that, doesn't comfort me very much, if you know what I'm trying to say. So we're not post-trib, we are pre-trib, okay? And so we see verse 10 as one of the greatest promises ever from Jesus to his church, the total, complete removal from the hour of trial. Now, verse 10 doesn't specifically describe the rapture, but it certainly describes the result of the rapture, if you will. Remember the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, the church is mentioned 19 times, all right? Now, and then in chapter 6 through 19, the tribulation period, the church is not mentioned again until, you know, verses 14, I believe, in chapter 19. So what does this tell me? It tells me that Jesus is in control. Is he in control of the great tribulation period? Absolutely. Not the beast, not the Antichrist, not Satan. You know, Jesus is in control. The wrath of God is going to be poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world, okay? Now, are we saved from the wrath to come? Let me give you a couple of scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. It tells us that we are to wait. That's that day-by-day expectation, meaning we're to prepare for the great tribulation period. We're to be looking for the Antichrist. Is that true? No. We're to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, here it comes, who delivers us or who rescues us, and there's this word again, from, E-K, out of, not sustained in the great tribulation, but delivers us completely out of the wrath that's coming. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God did not, and that word not is emphatic in the Greek, okay, which means that we are not appointed to go through any part of the tribulation period. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So, after the Reformation period, and historically in the time that we're studying out this morning, the doctrine of the imminent return of Jesus Christ came back into play, finally again, meaning the catching away of the church, the rapture of the church, whichever one phrase you want to use. And, you know, I don't have time to go into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. That tells us all about the rapture. But another scripture that deals with that is from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:51, where it says this. Paul says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep," meaning we're not all going to die. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that. It could happen right now, but we're not going to all die, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That's pretty quick, isn't it? So it's not a process. It's instantly brand new bodies, and I could use a brand new body. Oh, man. And it says, at the last trump, that's the catching away of the church, okay? The last trump, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, the post-trib people say that the trumpet there is one of the trumpets, the last trumpet in Revelation. Well, the trumpet are judgments. Trumpet judgments. This is not a judgment. This is escape. This is going home, amen? Now, look what Jesus says. Behold, I'm coming how? Quickly. That means suddenly. It means unexpectedly. Any moment could happen right now. And so he gives a command to this church and to us as well. He says, hold fast what you have. Now, this is to hold fast what you have till the end of the age, until Jesus comes. Now, what could they hold fast to? Well, verse 3 tells us, but in other words, did Jesus open a door? Yes, hold fast at this open door, going into all the world and so forth. It says, and rely on God, faithfulness to his word and to his name. The reason that no one may take your crown, that has nothing to do with losing your salvation. It's at the Bema Seat of Christ. This is the place of our rewards, okay? So Philadelphia is the true church, the faithful church, the church of the open door. Jesus said, don't let anyone take your Stephanos. The victor's crown for your faithfulness and so forth. Don't let that happen. So the judgment seat of Christ, well, that implies that someone could take the crown. Amen? So the judgment seat of Christ is going to be a place, a loved one of reward or regret for some of us. So we don't want anyone to take our crown. He says, and he who overcomes, and who, one more time, I'm going to use that same thing, but we know that every Christian, every true Christian is an overcomer. Amen? 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. Okay, we are overcomers. Jesus says, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. So the word pillar there is speaking primarily of you'll never leave. You're a permanent residence in heaven forever. And you shall go out no more. You'll never be separated from God. You'll never be separated from Jesus. We're going to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. And he says here, oh, and I'm going to write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. Now, there's a lot of writing going on. You know what? It basically means this. If somebody writes on you, it means that you belong to them. Amen? And so we belong to the Lord. And look at the divine invitation now. It says, he who hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church is. Now, the church of Philadelphia, it existed as a church longer than all of the other churches, okay? I think it's existed until the 13th century. And then, unfortunately, the Turks came in to the church, and they actually massacred all the believers. They killed each and every one of them. Now, Philadelphia is the faithful church of the last days. The door is open. The door remains open for us. We call it the Great Commission. But I just want to share a few things. We have time. Is that all right? About this. And that is, you know, this historically is the faithful church of the last days from 1750 to the catch-awaying of the church, the rapture of the church, and so forth. But remember what I said earlier, that from beginning in 1750 and forward was a time of the incredible rebirth of worldwide missions and evangelism, and also the Great Awakening, not only in Europe, but the Great Awakening here in our nation as well. I just want to share with you a few men that walked through the door that God gave them. And one of them is William Carey. William Carey was from 1761. He was born 1834. He went home to be with the Lord. A very interesting individual. He was uneducated. He was untrained in any form of ministry. He was a shoe cobbler, okay? And what he did, if you walked into his little cobbler shop, you would find on his wall a leather, sewn together by leather and also paper, a globe of the world. Finally, he took it down and made a ball out of it. And he would every day, he loved the Lord, every day he would pray, this untrained, uneducated individual, he would lay his hands on that leather globe that he made and pray over the continents of the world. Matter of fact, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong because my history is, I can't remember everything anymore, but I believe that's how they found him when he died. He was with the in his hand praying over the world. Now, God did something. God stirred this man's heart. And then God opened a door for him, loved one. Do you know that when God called him to go, that Carey birthed what's called the modern day missions movement? Think about that. And of course, he was the first missionary. He went into, at that time frame, he went into India. You should read all the things that he did. And on May 31st, 1792, he preached a sermon. It was called this in England. He called, "Lengthen thy cords, strengthen thy stakes." I've used that sermon, by the way, on a tent call free, if y'all remember that. And that sermon, when he preached it, listen, it woke up the church there in England from 1,000 years of just being asleep. And man, the mission movement, it just went crazy. And then all of a sudden, they formed the Northamptonshire Baptist Association. He went through the open door. How about John Wesley, 1703 to 1791? What church did he found? The Methodist Church. Now, how important was the door that Wesley went through, if you ever study out his life? Do you know what this man did? Do you know that he traveled 250,000 miles on horseback, spreading the gospel? Do you hear what I said? I mean, unbelievable. Listen, that means he circled. He could have circled the earth 10 times. That's who, I mean, was it serious for him? Amen. But he went through the door. And everybody knows about Jonathan Edwards. I mean, remember his famous sermon, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God." How would you like that to be out on our marquee? Don't miss Pastor Bill teaching. Sinners, and I mean, that's going to draw a lot of people in here, you know. And listen, you know what happened? He preached that sermon. He, American pastor, by the way. He preached that sermon July 8th, 1741. Now, let me read what it says happened. "It is reported that during the message, people were overcome with conviction. Members of the congregation were shrieking, groaning, trembling, falling on the floor with holy fear. His preaching sparked the first great awakening in this nation." I had the privilege of preaching when I was up in New England. I spent time up there preaching all through the New England area to preach behind his pulpit. It was a kind of a sissy looking pulpit personally, you know, but that's another story. Now, and how about this one? Charles Finney. We know of Charles, 1792, 1875. He was an American. He was a Presbyterian minister, but he was also the leader, the catalyst of the second great awakening in America. He's called the father of modern revivalism. He's credited. You know why people come to the altar? He's the one who started it. Yeah, but you can study all that out. And here's a favorite of mine, William Booth. Now, he was an English Methodist preacher, And he established missions to feed the poor and take care of the poor in East London in 1865. Guess what that's called today? The Salvation Army. He's the one who founded that, loved one. That was the open door. Now listen to me. On August 20th, 1912, William Booth departed to heaven. And listen, this is all history, in newspapers. He was called the world's best loved man. I encourage you to go look at an early picture of him. You look at him and you'll like him, okay? And it says he's the world's best loved man. He was called the Archbishop of the world. Now listen carefully. When he died, 150,000 people passed by his casket. 35,000 people attended his public memorial service, including Queen Alexandra. She came incognito, by the way. William Booth said this, "The greatest of man's power, the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender." What a true word. And then everyone knows one of the books I have in my library. It is so old. I don't even know if it's in print, but it's on a guy I love. And I love reading that book about D.L. Moody. Because I'll tell you, Moody was incredible. 1837, he was born. He died right before the December of 1899, right before 1900 started. Now, listen, do you know that Moody, they say that Moody could speak 230 words a minute when he preached? Hello? I don't know. Anyway, it says he never trained for ministry. He was never even ordained as a minister. His education went to the fifth grade. He was a shoe salesman, okay? But the Lord got a hold of him. And boy, he started speaking abroad in Europe and, of course, America to crowds, 10, 15, 20,000 people. People would come from everywhere to hear him preach. Now, listen to me. Let me read the facts. Moody brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to over 100 million people. He did that before modern technology, loved one. And the doors that he walked through and he obeyed the Lord. Let me just give you a few of the doors that he walked through. Is that okay? We still have time. And this is one of my favorites. He founded the Pacific Garden Mission. You ever heard of that one? Now, well, when I was studying for ministry, when I was in my 20s, okay, I worked full-time the night shift, and I would study for ministry during the day. But every night, I was all by myself building cabinets and so forth. And so every night, unshackled. You never heard that, did you? Would come on. It was my favorite program. Do you know it's still on today? If you ever get a chance, Google it and listen to some of those incredible stories that are told. So the Pacific Garden Mission. How about this one? You ever heard of the Moody Church of Chicago? Yes. Okay, he's the one who started that one. The Moody Bible Institute. And not only that, the Northfield School for Girls and the Mount Hermon School for Boys in Massachusetts. When I was up there teaching, I went to that one and saw it. Incredible, beautiful, unbelievable. Now, he also, Moody Publishers. You ready for this? Moody Publishers, that he founded, has distributed more than 300 million books in over 71 languages and 130 countries around the world. Why? He walked through the door. He saw the opportunity that God was giving him. He couldn't do it in his own strength. He did it by the strength of the Lord. Amen? Every door that God opens for you, for this church, loved one, listen to me. It's not me. It's not you. It's him. You know, over, 27 years ago, I had people come to here and walk into my office was over here back in the poor days, you know, when I just had a little chair. And people came from California and they said, oh, man, you know, they walked in. I didn't know who they were. Listen, we're going to put you on the radio. I'm going, you're going to what? Said, yeah, we're going to put a radio station right here. I said, you're going to what? I said, who are you? I mean, I did. They acted like I just knew them. And said, Pastor Chuck sent us down. Well, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, well, we're broadcasting across the nation, loved one, for 27 years, spreading the good news of Jesus Christ. Loved one, this is what you're doing. What we're doing. God's opened the door. We didn't even try to open the door. We didn't open the door for Kenya. God opened the door for Kenya. We didn't open the door for North Korea for those orphans, remember? God opened the door. We didn't open the door for Mexico. God opened the door for Mexico with the orphanage. Amen? But we walk through it. And look all that God has done all these years, loved one. Someone said, and I don't know who it was, The greatest treasures on earth lie in the cemetery. What a word. What do I mean? Well, dreams from the Lord that God gives you and you've never fulfilled it, never walked in it. Plans that from God, but they were never, ever attempted. You know, spiritual gifts that every Christian has, but you never discovered. You never walked through the door that God has for you. We're the most blessed people on earth. We have been given everything by the Lord. And we neglect so much. I mean, how many people I know, I've seen people walk away, the call to the pulpit, but they don't go. Or the call to missions, and they don't go. The call to be just loving kids in the youth or in the kids' church, or being an usher, being a greeter, just open door. I'm going to be a servant of God, and I'm going to glorify Him in whatever I do. Amen? Think of the doors that Jesus has opened for so many of us, but we never, ever entered those doors. There's orphanages. We should have more orphanages. Orphanages are not built. Schools are not built. Places are not built because God says, here's the door. I can do anything. God says, nothing is too hard for me. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power in us. Amen? But we just have to say, Lord, I see it. I see the prompting. I say, Lord, yes, that's what we want to do. We just want to walk through those doors. And there's one door that's open to all people in all the world. That door is so wide open, loved one. But remember, the word door means opportunity. And that opportunity has to be received. Jesus said in John 10:9, He said, I am the door, meaning I'm the only door. He says, if anyone, no matter who they are, anyone enters by me, because I'm the door, He says, he will be saved. He will be saved. He will be saved. Man, isn't it amazing that a person can shut? That's the only door that can be shut that Jesus opened. It's because, oh, I don't want him. I don't want to be saved. Who would want to ever close that door? If you don't know the Lord, listen to me. Maybe you're listening live, you're listening on the radio, whatever it is. Jesus is the only door to heaven. He's the only door to have your sins forgiven. He is the only way. There is no other way. There is no other Savior. Just think, He says, I'm the door. If anyone, who, no matter who you are, you have to do something. If you'll just enter, you'll be saved. So our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you don't know Jesus, maybe you're visiting with us right now, or maybe you've just never made a confession of faith and asking Christ to be your Lord and Savior. If that's you, don't shut the door on it. You can do it right now. If you don't know the Lord and you'd like Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you want to enter that door, would you just lift your hands and put it right back down and say, Bill, I want to be saved. Anyone in this early service, anyone at all. Father, I don't think I see any hands. I don't think I see anyone. So, yes, I do. God bless you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Lift it high and put it back down. I'm old. God bless you, sir. I see that. Oh, God is moving. Anyone else before I pray? You that are listening live, maybe you want to be included on that. You say, Bill, I lifted my hand. Those who lifted your hands here, I want you to pray this prayer with me. And church, I want you to help me. Father, today, I come to you in Jesus' name. He is our Eliakim. My only access to you. I want to enter the door. Jesus said he's the door. And if I enter, he will save me. I want to be saved. So right now, I confess with my mouth, Jesus be my Lord. And I believe in my heart, God has raised you from the dead. Father, you promised if I would ask Jesus to be my Savior and believe it in my heart, you would save me. I believe. In Jesus' name, I'm saved. And the church says, amen.
Pastor Bill will continue the study of Revelation on our next broadcast, and we'll look for you once again. Hey, we appreciate you listening today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.